Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock.
And I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you why Magic deserves a ton of credit for LeBron coming to the Lakers.
We're joined today by NBA champion Stephen Jackson and Fox NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Let's start with the story everyone's talking about, DeAndre Jordan signing with the Magic. Hold on, just kidding. Of course, the big story this weekend is LeBron James coming to Los Angeles, signing a four-year, $154 million contract with the Lakers. LeBron will join LA's young core of Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma. And while the Lakers are adding a few veteran role players, as of now, it doesn't look like LeBron will get another big-name free agent to team up with. Cowherd, JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Come on.
They taking the right approach here in Los Angeles.
Yes. By the way, Vegas has them as an over 50-win team, third in the league. Do you think Cleveland would be picked to finish second in the West? Because that's what the Lakers are today in Vegas. Vegas also had them, the Lakers, as an overwhelming favorite to land LeBron. And the media and bloggers and fans said it would never happen.
Who said it would never happen besides me? Continue.
No, I mean, I think this is Los Angeles. This feels big. It looks global. People are going to want to play. And LeBron's still the best player in the league. Look at the excitement.
Cavaliers West. That's what we have.
Way better players. Way better players. Jordan Clarkson.
Kevin Love.
Kevin Love has been an inconsistent.
Perennial All-Star.
Oh, come on.
Tristan Thompson has rings. A ring, at least.
Vegas has this as the second to third best team in the league.
These kids he's playing with, do they shave yet? Seriously.
You don't like
the move.
Have
they got any playoff experience? I'm just saying, is it the right? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope gets it. Lance Stephenson, I'm from Indiana. I love Lance Stephenson. But Lance Stephenson?
I like that move.
JaVale McGee?
This is in the NBA today, you need wings who can shoot and wings who can defend shooters. Kuzma, Ingram, LeBron, they're going to get Kawhi, KCP, Lance Stephenson.
Chaos. That's what that sounds like to me, chaos.
Yeah, look, Vegas is sniffing something. I mean, to say they're the third best team in the NBA right now, that's crazy. Right. But we're looking at it wrong. If you're saying, is it the right approach to win a championship next year? No, there's no way. They don't have a prayer of winning a championship next year. But for LeBron, this is similar. We don't think of it this way. We think of him as he's always trying to stack the deck. But when you look at his history, this is similar to going back to Cleveland in 2014. That was a 33-win team. This is a 35-win team. Kyrie was, obviously, we knew he'd be great. But he was only in his fourth year, hadn't even been to the playoffs.
And hurt a
Kevin
lot.
Love had never been to the playoffs. And LeBron, in his letter in Sports Illustrated, talked about patience, not going to happen overnight. I'm here for Northeast Ohio. Like, there were other factors.
29 years old then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Winning should have been even higher on the list then than it is even now. Now he's willing to be patient. I think he's looking at it year two. We'll get another big name guy.
He got a year to waste at 33.
For titles, this is going to be a wasted year. There's no way he can win.
It's pretty simple to me. We're talking about LeBron James. You put him anywhere with another star, he has a chance to win the championship. So whatever they're up to, as long as they get another star there, he has a chance to win. And that's what I really believe. Even in the West.
What if they don't?
Then they're going to be a mediocre team. They won't even be at the top of the West. They'll be at the bottom of the West.
I am shocked by people that say, this Kawhi thing, it's not going to happen. You do get, in the last week, San Antonio's lost leverage. Before LeBron came to L.A., L.A. would have given anything to get Kawhi. Well, now they have LeBron. They've taken Kuzma off the table. They don't want to give away as many draft picks. You get every month.
Without Kawhi, what do you got, Colin? Got Cavaliers West.
No.
And that's not good enough.
I think
the West.
You think
they're a contender in the West right now?
I don't think they're as good as Golden State. I think they're the second-best team.
Really? Better than Houston?
Trevor Ariza is gone. Chris Paul, do you think at the end of the year he's healthy?
Colin, you go to bed too early at night. Serious. This team would have problems with Utah. And yes. Quinn Snyder.
Yes. Yeah, but that's and before Donovan LeBron Mitchell. Got there.
No, I'm talking about this team with LeBron will have a problem with Utah.
You sleeping on OKC, too.
Yeah, exactly. They're bunched up right now with the Portlands, the OKCs, the Utahs, New Orleans. The West, this
Anthony
is not the
Davis.
East.
Yeah.
This ain't the East no more.
He's in bed.
This ain't the East
anymore.
He's
got an early morning radio show to do. He's in bed. You're not watching the West.
Guys.
And he doesn't have Kawhi yet, you know.
Exactly.
Kawhi is coming. It's not done yet. Pop might not trade him to a West Conference team. You know, Pop, he has another year on his contract. So Pop can be stubborn and just make him sit there and play. He might not trade him to the West. And you know he got a good friend over there in
Minnesota.
Philly, so he might not be
there. I think he's ending up in Philly.
Yeah,
Kawhi.
His buddy over there.
Minnesota, you think that's a scary team for LeBron?
No, what I said was Houston, Utah, OKC, and Anthony Davis is always a
and
problem.
I'll throw Minnesota in there too. I mean, again, it's a step up. There's no question. Look, let's just look at it this way. As much as I respect and admire LeBron in this game, he's been the 9 finals. If he were in the West, that would be 3 finals he's been to.
Yeah, trust me. I know he made this decision with understanding that he might not be back in the finals this year. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he made it.
I think you guys are overstating the Great West. Minnesota underachieves. Chris Paul can't stay healthy. Steph Curry gets injured. What is
LeBron James is 33, and he's playing with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, a bunch of kids, and now they bring JaVale McGee, who's the star of Shaq and the Fool, and Lance Stephenson over here. I don't know.
Hi, I'm Alexi Lalas. I used to play soccer back in the 1900s for the U.S. Now you can find me talking about soccer this summer during the World Cup on Fox. Now through July 15th, you can get daily FIFA World Cup updates from me through your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, play the Fox Sports Flash Briefing, and you'll get the latest tournament news straight from Russia. Alexa and Alexi, now that's a winning team. Don't forget to watch the 2018 FIFA World Cup all tournament long live on Fox and FS1.
He may not have another superstar to contend with, but LeBron will have to share some space with the Ball family, who've been sucking the oxygen out of Staples for the past year. Yesterday, Lonzo was asked when he heard the big news.
I found out like everybody else. You know, it was a very exciting moment, you know, not only for myself, but for the whole city of LA. You know, very happy to have him. Man, it's the only word that comes to mind is crazy. You know, like you said, my whole life I've been watching him, you know, saying he's my favorite player, and then just to be able to have the opportunity to play with him, you know, it's really crazy.
All right, Whitlock, do you think LeBron can coexist with Lonzo and LeVar?
I think it's going to be very tough. You got to remember, LeVar and LeBron have already gone at it about their kids. And LeBron was very, keep my kids' names out of your mouth, keep them out of the conversation. Look at the way LeBron handled Dan Gilbert. And Dan Gilbert bent over backwards trying to make up. And LeBron's like, well, I'm going to tolerate you, but I'm just going to tolerate you. LeVar is a very tricky situation. This team is combustible, man. Lance Stephenson, Lonzo Ball making rap diss tracks. LeVar, you never know when he's going to erupt. Magic is a personality. This thing is very combustible. Kobe Bryant, he's doing interviews everywhere he can, trying to make sure he's a part of this. This situation is combustible.
I think LeVar knows how much leverage he has, which is zero. Lonzo's story, nice. That Lonzo story broke 2 days ago, the injury. Well, why did it break 2 days ago? He's been hurt since the season. It broke because LeVar fed the media that story because he doesn't want his son traded because he knows Lakers don't need him. LeBron's led his team in assists 14 straight years. They don't need Lonzo. They don't need Lonzo. What they need are wing guys that can shoot. So my takeaway is LeVar knows I got no leverage here. Like, the Lithuania thing was a joke. Lonzo's hurt. LeBron's not going to take it, to your point about the parenting. And frankly, LeBron has the ball in his hands. They don't need Lonzo right now. And I think LeVar knows they don't need him.
That's why I think LeVar's smart enough to tone it down. And he's going to have to tone it down. He may come out and say something about, oh, LeBron's this and that, and LeBron and Lonzo, you know. But as far as the criticisms of the team, the coaching staff, the playing time, all that, Lonzo don't have the ball enough, I think he's smart enough to tone it down because he knows if not, he will be out of there. Now, on the court, I do think Lonzo and LeBron can coexist because LeBron has respect for other guys that have high basketball IQ and can make plays. He's got to work on his three-point shot, obviously. But if he can start knocking down the three-point shot, I think they'll both handle the ball and they'll be able to coexist on the court.
Like you said, LeBron is smart. And I think we've all learned something about Lonzo that LeBron probably have learned too. If you wouldn't hear LeVar talking and saying, that's my son, you wouldn't know that's his son because they're totally different. They're totally opposite. And I think LeBron knows this kid.
You put out a diss track on Kyle Kuzma. Well, talking about you don't know who your daddy is.
Well, I made a diss
track. That's not LeVar's son?
I made a diss track, too, about a lot of people. Even I made a diss track about the owner, but one of the owners. What I'm saying is it's rap. It's in today's culture. Yeah. But I think him and Bron would do well together because they both want to win, and Bron understands that he's not his father. This kid is totally different from his dad. He wants to be great, and I think LeBron accept that.
Let me show me the additional player, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, and maybe y'all can help me out. A guy that can't shoot that LeBron loves. And remember, this kid shot 45% from the free throw line. He's got the worst looking jump shot we've ever seen in the NBA. Show me the role player that LeBron loves that can't hit the outside, that doesn't create space for LeBron to operate.
He did have his moments. There was about a month and a half last year where Lonzo was hitting the three. I'm with you. He's going to have to knock it down. That's one of the interesting things
about. He's going
to
get better, man.
Yeah, he's going to get better. That's the interesting thing about this team. Julius Randle can't shoot. Mm-hmm. Lonzo can't shoot. Lance isn't much of a shooter. Like, they are bringing in some guys that aren't really shooters. KCP can shoot.
But I like Julius Randle better than Tristan Thompson, though.
Yeah, yeah, Julius can play.
By the way,
I like him.
What you're watching the Lakers do, they've got draft picks, they've got young, improving players, and they've got one-year contracts. This is not...
They're saving money for...
They're looking to make moves. This is just the beginning. They're going to let it bake for a while. I still contend...
Were you at Magic's house last night? I mean, my God, you're selling this. I mean, they got... JaVale McGee, Shaq has made
a... going to play 8 minutes a night max.
Lance Stevenson is going to play well.
You understand, though.
Year. He had a great year this year.
You understand these one-year deals are just placeholders.
Right.
This is for next summer when it's Klay Thompson, Jimmy Butler.
Then I'm going to swing back to my original Kawhi. Why do y'all think LeBron at 33, I'm going to just give away a year?
He's giving away a year. You're right. I'm with you on that. And
he's
that's why...
He's not mentally giving it away. He's going to go out and play now.
If they land Kawhi, he's not giving away anything.
If they land Kawhi.
Well, I think they're going to.
If they land Kawhi. But that's – why would Pop just give him to the Lakers and put himself further
Kawhi
in the
back? Kawhi has gone publicly to say, I want to be a Laker.
When have you seen Kawhi say that?
Well, no, his people.
Okay, we've never seen Kawhi say that.
Listen, Kawhi doesn't talk.
Right, right. We've never seen him say that.
But what general manager is going to roll the dice that I can – convince him to stay after giving away two.
But hold on, we just saw it happen with Paul George.
We just saw it. That doesn't mean it's going to happen again. We were all surprised.
But look, if Kawhi goes to the East, Philadelphia, let's say, he's already got a coach there he can relate to. You got two great players, a pass first point guard, a big man who plays down low. They could win the East, and I mean, they'd probably play well in the finals if they wouldn't win.
And the doctors go see in New York as Philly's doctor.
Yes, I mean, I'm just saying... It's not a done deal that he's going to get
this Kawhi. This situation here in L.A. can blow up in everybody's face. It sounds good. Oh, we got LeBron. And that's why I think, and, you know, I don't know if we'll get into
it. It can't get no worse.
It can't get worse.
This thing can't get worse.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad move. I'm just saying it's very combustible, and that's why I think Kobe is selling it right now, how happy he is, because Kobe's smart enough to go, you know, this thing could blow up in LeBron's face. And I will elevate in that if that happens. If LeBron comes to LA, show me the great all from Wilt to Kareem to Shaq. When you're an all-time great and you come to LA, you have to win championships.
Right.
If this blows up in LeBron's face, Kobe elevates. If he doesn't finish, if he don't get a championship or two here in LA, Kobe elevates. And Kobe can see. Because he's got eyes, this thing could blow up
in
LeBron's face.
You gotta commend LeBron for being up for the task, I tell you
that. That's the thing. There's been this narrative. Like I said, he wants to stack the deck. He doesn't want to compete. He's competing. Yeah, he's taking on a risk.
Welcome back, Steven Jackson, Chris Broussard. Let's move to Oklahoma City. Paul George decided not to join LeBron on his hometown Lakers, instead opting for a four-year, $137 million with a stay with the Thunder. George actually announced the decision at a house party thrown by his teammate Russell Westbrook. I bet that was just nothing but fun.
Popping.
Whitlock, do you give Russ credit for George staying in OKC?
Is there anyone else to give it to? The guy made the announcement.
The bank.
He made the announcement at Russell Westbrook's house. Thanks. Who else to give him the credit for? We've sat here and heard no one wants to play with Russell Westbrook.
You think he's suddenly easier to play with today?
No. You said no one wants to play with Russell Westbrook. Paul George just decided to play with him. LeBron James, who I love and respect, Kyrie Irving didn't want to play with him.
And Paul George, apparently, either.
Paul George didn't want to play with him.
How do we know Paul George heard the Kawhi news and thought, I don't want to be a third wheel on the Lakers? That's not possible?
What's possible is he didn't want to give up that 40 extra million. That's
well, he only
possible.
Had to get, like, the Lakers could have given him, like, 8 million less, like 129 over 4 versus 137 over 4. So I don't think it was a financial decision. I do think you have to give Russ credit. I mean, how many times does George have to say it for us to believe it? He loved playing. He talked about the friendship. I think that was a huge part of it. The friendship, the trust he developed with Westbrook. And look, if it was just about, okay, I can't go to the Lakers and be the third option, then he could have looked at other teams. If it was just about, if Philly would have been, I still think he missed an opportunity to go to Philadelphia where he'd have been one first or second scorer.
Here's where I'll give Westbrook credit. Recruiting is about love. Mark Richt coaches Miami Hurricanes. I was talking to him about recruiting one time, and he said, listen, whether I'm in Georgia or Miami, you just got to tell the players, I love you. We need you. You're really needed here. And I do think OKC and Westbrook really made Paul feel like, man, and I think they're right, we really want you to be part of this.
As players, Harry, you got to you love Russell Westbrook. You want to play. Every player wants to play with a guy like Russell Westbrook. Great players want to play with great players. It's not necessarily making your job easier, but you want to play with great players, and I think they had a lot to do with it because he's an MVP, one of the best players in the league. They can grow. They can get to the finals together, and I think Paul George understands that.
Look, what other reason is there to stay in Oklahoma City? This dude grew up out here in California. He lived in one of the best cities in America, Indianapolis, for a number of
not
years.
Not for me.
And he chose to stay in Oklahoma City. That's got to be Russell Westbrook. And it's given me hope that we're going to see a little different version of Russell Westbrook moving forward.
Melo, too.
How do I know Russell Westbrook hasn't been empowered? Russell Westbrook last year had to play nice because he wanted to keep him.
He didn't play any differently.
He still averaged a triple-double.
Exactly. Russ played his same old game. And here's the thing. Look, Paul George had his best catch-and-shoot year ever. Best percentage from 40 or from three-point line. Defensively, that team with Anthony Robertson or Andre Robertson, they're starting five with Robertson, Melo, Westbrook, George, and Steven Adams was analytically one of the best starting fives in the league or one of the best five-man units in the league. So I'm not saying they're going to win a championship. Mm-hmm. I don't think they can win a championship. I think, though, they can be in the mix to maybe get to the conference finals here or there, but certainly be one of those teams that's fighting for the second round and be a tough team in the West.
It's hard when you have a shooting forward that you can hack a Shaq and send to the
He
line.
Can't shoot. I get that.
That'll kill you. But the fact that they had a year together, the fact that Melo's coming back, I think they all realize the sacrifices they have to make now to be great because – I don't think the coach is there that they need, but I think as a team and those three guys,
they're not going to ice Melo. Why not cut bait with Melo?
By the way, you watched the Utah series. Yeah. I mean, Westbrook emotionally unraveled. What's changed?
That they lost. Sometimes you learn from pain and losing, and then just this whole recruiting process with Paul George, surely there were discussions about how can we win here? Because the way we went at it last year didn't work. I expect, and I know I'm stubborn, and I'll be proven wrong. I expect Russell Westbrook to make some adjustments, and he and Paul George to work better.
Like what kind of adjustments?
Just share the ball a little bit more, not jack up so many
smarter
threes.
Smarter plays.
Just smart. Just playing smarter
threes.
Yeah. Experience is the best teacher.
Yep. All right. Let's return to LA. Where LeBron's decision to join the Lakers just shifted the entire balance of the NBA. While the West has been the association's dominant conference for several years, LeBron's presence in the East had balanced it out. But with LeBron heading West, the competitive imbalance has reached an absurd proportion, with almost all the best players now concentrated in one conference. Kyle Hurd, is this bad for the NBA?
I actually do think it's lopsided. I don't think the dynasty is bad because dynasties are good for ratings and everybody tries to attack the dynasty. I don't think dynasties are problems. Here's an issue. Think about this. In the East right now, if just one player, Joel Embiid, who has a history of injuries, he played 64 games, if he got hurt next year, there's no I mean, it's literally the Celtics and Giannis. What would you have in the conference? sports is about interesting. Ben Simmons is interesting. Giannis is interesting. The Celtics are interesting. Boy, you could lose five All-Stars in the West. It's still interesting. The East is an injury away from not even being watchable.
Again, what I think is bad for the NBA is, again, all the best talents on the West Coast. That means all your best talent is playing late at night. You're in bed on the East Coast. You don't get to showcase LeBron James on playing for an Eastern Conference team. You don't get to showcase him as often out here playing in L.A. I think a lot of your customer base on the East Coast is going to get a steady diet and I love Victor Oladipo, but I just don't think he drives ratings the way LeBron did.
I know the Raptors are screaming. I know they're so happy that LeBron is out the East. They have a chance, you know, to get to the finals now. But like you said, I love it, the fact that LeBron came to the West for the challenge that he's taking, but the East is not going to be entertaining at all to me. I think Boston's just going to run through the East.
Receding, Chris?
Look, I've said for a while that they need to just – you can keep the conferences for organizations' purposes if you want, but even out the schedule and go best 16 records. That's what I like to see. But let me say this, because that chart was a little deceiving. If you're right, Embiid has to stay healthy. But if Embiid does stay healthy, you have an up-and-coming – great team in Philadelphia that, to your point, is also exciting. Okay, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
They're fun.
Boston has Kyrie Irving, who is now a legitimate celebrity out of basketball. His game is fun to watch. So Boston's a legit team. So I think right there you've got two great up-and-coming teams. And Milwaukee, I expect to be much better with Mike Budenholzer, who led Atlanta team to 60 wins a few years ago. They didn't have anything close to Giannis. They got Chris Middleton, Jabari Parker. So I think that the East is certainly not as good as the West. But if these teams stay healthy, it can be exciting.
I'm really concerned about you, because you're going to see a lot of first halves of LeBron James. No idea what happened in the second half. On your couch, knocked out, slobbered.
You have reduced LeBron and the Lakers to something between Orlando and Sacramento.
I'm just saying, all you're going to see is the first half. You're going to have no idea what happened in the second half.
You're used to him being in the East. Don't be different.
Yahoo's Sham Sharania dropped a Sham bomb yesterday, reporting that DeMarcus Cousins will join the Western Conference All-Stars. The Golden State Warriors.
Stop it.
On a 1-year, $5.3 million deal. After the news broke, Showtime, one of my favorite networks, tweeted out Cousins' reaction, which was caught on tape for his new reality show.
Bada bing, bada boom. Bada bing, bada boom.
I bet. I'm a warrior.
I don't like this.
I know you don't.
I don't like this. I don't blame Boogie. I just don't like it. Too much talent in the West.
Huh?
If Boogie is anything like he used to be come February or March, I don't like it. It makes the whole season irrelevant. You know Golden State is going to win. I can't sit here and blame Boogie, because of the way the salary cap played out, there wasn't money from a lot of different sources for him to go. And if he's going to have to sign for $5 million, you damn well go play to win. That's the only thing that you can satisfy yourself. But I just don't. There's just way too much talent in the West. And for Golden State to get stronger, this is not good for the NBA.
So what would Golden State, what are they supposed to do? They get a call from Boogie. He says, listen, I'm willing to come if you would accept me for the exemption. So they're going to say no. Knowing they really only got him for a half a year. You got to think about it. Next, what?
I'm not blaming anybody.
Do you
like Boogie joining four other All-Stars? This is like 1968 all over again. It's the Boston Celtics with all the talent.
Listen, I look at it like this. My man was out there. And this is a blow to the ego, too. Because this is a guy, 25, 13, and 5. Not getting a call. Not getting a call. Okay, at all. This is a blow to the ego. So now he has to step back and play a lesser role than what he would do. Now, he's not coming back to December, January, a half a season.
Regular season matter, Jim?
It matters to him. It matters to him.
No. As a fan. Take him out of it as a fan.
Well, it matters because you want to see things come together, especially with LeBron being back in the West. It does matter.
Here's what sells the NBA. First of all, dynasties aren't bad for the NBA. That's been proven. Do I have to run through the Lakers, the Celtics in the 80s, Jordan's Bulls, Shaq and Kobe? I mean, dynasties sell in the NBA. That's number one. Number two, storylines. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. This is another storyline. Now, people want to watch Golden State to see how Boogie fits in. Obviously, you got LeBron with the Lakers. That's a new storyline. You got Paul George staying in OKC. That's a storyline. You got Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving going back to the best team in the East. That's a storyline. Wherever Kawhi goes, that's a storyline. I mean, storylines are what's going to make the regular season relevant, not who's the best team
not
with the best
competition.
Record.
But you asked, did it matter? Your regular season matters because if Chris Paul is healthy in that game seven, we might have a different team going to the finals.
Let's move on.
So
to
it does year. Matter.
Boogie on that team, you know who's winning the title, Steven.
True. No question. But it's just a great move by Boogie. I mean, if nobody wants to offer me a contract and I got to prove myself again, I'm going to prove myself and win the championship.
And
can't
he's
be mad
not
at nobody.
Be 25-13 in Golden
State. If he's anywhere
he's
close,
he's gonna be a role player.
If he's 12-10, it's a problem because it's hard for you athletes to step back and just think from a fan's perspective. That's where I think y'all struggle. As a fan, y'all are struggling. Y'all are thinking as athletes. As a, because all you are now when it comes to the NBA season, you're just a fan, just like everybody else. You're not playing. You're going to enjoy watching Golden State annihilate the entire league.
Well, I think this. LeBron, the biggest benefit, one of the biggest beneficiaries from LeBron going to the Lakers was Golden State because they can't fight complacency right now. I think him going there is going to make them step up. Like last year, they could get away with, okay, if we don't get home court, that's fine. We can skate through the season. But now that LeBron is in the West, that he's with the Lakers, and we're not done seeing what iterations this Lakers team is going to be, now Golden State can't be as complacent as they were last year.
I can't and possibly never look at the game as a fan because I know too much about it. So if I didn't know, then maybe I would be a fan, but I know too much about the game to be a fan. So I'm looking at it as it's the best decision and the only decision. Be mad at those other organizations that's not getting better. Be mad at them, who the guys that they have looking, scouting other players and guys that they sign on their teams, the reason why they're at the bottom of the league. Mm-hmm. You got to be mad at them. You can't be mad at guys that want to win.
Steven, do you watch the NBA?
Sometimes. Playoffs.
Are you going to enjoy the playoffs? If Boogie's anything like he used to be, are you going to enjoy these playoffs knowing Golden State's about to run through everybody?
Of course. I want to be dominant. I don't. Who cares about the other teams that's losing? I'm giving props to the team that's winning.
Golden State.
What are we watching it for?
They will not go for the regular season win record. I don't believe 73 wins. But if they did,
they can get it
and
on
they
accident.
Win 75-8 or whatever that would be, 75-7. You wouldn't be – fans would be into that.
Okay, listen, if Boogie were healthy and going to start the year, I think 75-8 is a possibility. He's not going to be available until January, February, maybe March. So 75, you know, they're not going
to – I'm just saying dominance isn't going to push the fans away. I mean, first of all, if they didn't sign Boogie, they were the prohibitive favorite. So this hasn't changed too much. I mean, we knew they were going to win it or we expect them to win it regardless.
The fans are going to be happy in Golden State. It's all the other teams' fans are going to be mad. That's just what it is. Somebody else needs to should have signed them. Everybody had that opportunity.
On island, by the
everybody had that opportunity, Whitlock.
Your Pacers had no chance.
Everybody had an opportunity to sign him. They had an opportunity.
Hi, I'm Alexi Lalas. I used to play soccer back in the 1900s for the U.S. Now you can find me talking about soccer this summer during the World Cup on Fox. Now through July 15th, you can get daily FIFA World Cup updates from me through your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, play the Fox Sports Flash Briefing, and you'll get the latest tournament news straight from Russia. Alexa and Alexi, now that's a winning team. Don't forget to watch the 2018 FIFA World Cup all tournament long live on Fox and FS1.
All right, well, people were mad enough when the Warriors added Kevin Durant to a 73-win team. And now they've added yet another perennial All-Star to a team that's won 3 titles in 4 years. In fact, adding Cousins makes the Warriors the first team since the 75 Celtics to have 5 All-Stars from the previous season. Even still, I'm not 1,000. I'm about to contradict myself a little bit here. I'm not 1,000% sure they're going to be unbeatable. Because the guy is coming off an Achilles injury. And look, I think Dominique's the only person that's ever come off that injury and been himself again. And then when you add in Boogie's 270, 280 pounds coming off an Achilles injury, Golden State has, you know, they're going to pay, I think, $20 million maybe in a luxury tax or whatever. But so they've taken a bit of a risk here. You're talking about a 280-pounder coming off an Achilles injury. That we haven't seen it. Chris Webber, when he came off his, he had to basically change his entire game.
Yeah, and I think, but that's why, too, you take a chance on this because, you know, keep in mind, this is a year thing. It gives Boogie a chance to kind of reinvigorate his career personally. Because if he can get there and show that he can play with the Golden State Warriors, because there's going to be times that we all know Steve Kerr is going to play a small lineup. The eyes are going to be on Boogie to see if he gets upset. Next year, you got Durant, Clay, and Draymond up. Those are the priorities for signing back. So this is a one-year experiment. So for me, this Golden State team was going to be unbeatable unless you had key injuries coming into the season anyway. They still had to build out their bench a little bit more, but Boogie, his time...
How can you say that, Jim?
What?
Even without Boogie...
They still were going to be tough to beat.
Houston took them seven.
But they didn't beat him. They didn't beat him.
And they're not relying on Boogie. They just won it two times.
They're not relying on him.
He's just an addition. He's a plus. They're not relying on him. They know what they got to do without him.
Look, I expect it to work. JaVale McGee, Nick Young, anybody that's gone in there with a tough reputation has worked out. But to your point, there are some red flags. I mean, and my thing is if it doesn't work, you can just cut him and still be the best team in the league. But offensively, he's a ball stopper. He likes to survey before he makes his move. They're not going to want that in Golden State. He's going to have to learn how to get rid of the ball quickly. Defensively, he doesn't switch. You can't switch with him. They like to switch everything. So there's going to be some challenges. And can he accept his role? Because he, like you said, this is a trial for him. Mm-hmm. This is obviously show that I can get along with guys, not be a problem in the locker room. But also, I want to play well, show I'm healthy, so I can get the max deal in 2019. So is he going to be happy playing some nights 15 minutes a night, getting five shots a night when he's always been the focal point? So there are some issues there, challenges there, but I think it'll work out.
I think he understands that. You know, he got this whole campaign, Zero Doubt, the resurgence, you know, with T-shirts he's passing out and he's wearing and stuff like that. I believe he'll be back to full form. I think going there with these guys, being around all these professionals, guys that he respects, guys that are MVPs, being around those guys and winning, it changes a lot. It happened to me in San Antonio. You know, it helped me change and understand that this is more of a business. You got to come in and come to work every day. It's not just a game. And I think that'll rub off on him.
Two things changed for him, though. One, I'm going to go back to the humble pie. You're not getting phone calls. So what you thought and who you thought you were and who you thought the teams were going to come at you and offer you opportunities, it didn't happen. It didn't. And for a player like us who got egos, when you know that you're in a situation and you're at the top of your game, you get injured, and you get no phone calls, that is a shock. That's a blow.
A lot of teams got it wrong, though.
And that might make him want to go in and get his 15, 16 shots. Despite that, he may want to put up numbers. But when I really sit back and think about this, I think Golden State got an opportunity just to play defense. They weren't expecting Boogie to call. And then when they sat back and just thought about it a moment, like, hey, for this money, why not sign him and keep him away from everybody else?
Keep him from the and
you know what else? That's a great point. Uh-huh. And it's scary, like the reaction. Like, are there teams that are going to walk in there defeated already?
Yes.
Right?
Half the league.
Okay, so just for that reason, you got people running scared because, they got five All-Stars.
And to your point, though, Chris, that creates a mindset and a mentality right now during the offseason. You know, you got people like me, but even some of the players around on other teams like, man, the season's already over. And that mindset can trickle into you need that mentality right now in preparation for the season that we got a chance to win a championship. And Golden State has eliminated that from the minds of maybe every team except for Boston and Houston.
And it shouldn't be that way, though. You're a professional. Yeah, exactly. You should come in confident.
But shouldn't that motivate front offices, though, to really evaluate talent and make their
rosters better? They got to do a better job.
They got to do a better job evaluating and also bringing in the right mix. I think having Golden State dominate, just like when the Lakers were dominating in the West when nobody else was there, all the talent was in the East. But yet and still, the Lakers were winning championship. But all the talent was in the East. Mm-hmm. Somebody else has to step up in there. I think this may motivate a lot of general managers and franchises to really peel back a little bit and really research a lot more on their scouting side to build out their team.
That's what it
is. That's a great point, Jim, because look, as great as this team is, Steph Curry was a 7th pick. Mm-hmm. Klay Thompson, a 12th pick. Draymond, a second rounder. The only odd thing was that Durant goes there, but they created a culture and an offense that he wanted to play in, and then Boogie calls them. Like, you can't you just got to give them props. The other front offices just got to step up.
All right, welcome back to the show. Chris Broussard, Doug Gottlieb, and Jason McIntyre back. Let's move to Kawhi Leonard, whose future still remains unclear, but whose reputation for being a bit odd may be coming more into focus. Reportedly, Kawhi was rehabbing his injured knee in New York last season. Some Spurs execs showed up to meet with him, but Kawhi's people led him away, and he actually hid at another part of the building. Look, I read this report, and I saw where you came out and Kawhi's people disputed it. And I hope that you're right. But I just think Kawhi Leonard, from what I understand, the agency is now paying the mother and the uncle. They're on payroll. And that we have a bit of a Lamar Jackson situation, that the mother and the uncle are running things and quarterbacking things. And not Kawhi, and he's a little bit hard to get a hold of for teams. This is an odd situation, and I'll just go back again to it's a bit of a red flag for me for NBA teams. He's quirky. He's a little bit like Ricky Williams, the running back, to me. Not as, you know, Ricky Williams had a bad weed problem. I'm not saying that about Kawhi, but he's a little quirky, and I'd just be careful here.
As you know, if he gets it done on the court, none of this will matter. He can be as quirky as he wants as long as he plays well.
Yeah, you can have fungus on your shower shoes in the show, right? You do it in the
as
minors.
As long as you ball.
Right.
Yeah, but I think it would be wise for Kawhi to do a one-on-one interview or something where he speaks. However, here's the issue. He doesn't talk a lot. He might not come off well. Remember Derrick Rose started to do a lot of speaking about his sexual harassment trial or assault trial, and he didn't come off well. So it might be, I don't know how he'd come off. I know he's very quiet. He doesn't say a lot. And if it came off poorly, it could be even worse. So maybe they're doing the right thing by keeping him away from the media.
All right, I'm going to break out my own video. Do you guys remember when John Wall threw out the first pitch for the Washington Nationals? Okay, John Wall. This is John Wall, who's a great athlete, right? He cannot throw. He can't throw a baseball. And I said this yesterday, and I mean it, that we're raising this generation of guys that the only thing they can do in life is play basketball, and they struggle with human interaction. And Kawhi is a bad version of that, to which he's always been a quiet kid. He didn't come up as a superstar. He came up as an unknown. Even though he's State Player of the Year in California, he wasn't McDonald's All-American because he was a center in high school. So, look, this generation of basketball players, we have the Karl Anthony Townses, we have the John Walls, we have the Kyrie Irvings. Some are brighter, some articulate things better than others, but many of them are really aloof and standoffish unless they're on a basketball court. And that's why I think it's actually a bad idea to put him in front of a microphone. That's where he's least comfortable. I think that a lot of this is purposeful. They want to chase everybody away to make it to where he has to be in L.A. He has to be with the Lakers. I don't buy the Clipper thing for a second.
Really?
Nobody wakes up, and nobody wakes up in Los Angeles like, you know what I want to be? I want to be a Clipper. And there's no such thing as a lifelong Clipper fan.
Doug, something nobody's
Clipper Darryl's Laker
about.
Darryl now.
The reason he might want the Lakers over Philly or Boston, he is in the process of getting a new shoe deal with the Jordan brand, and nothing is signed, and if you're in L.A., that's a huge market, perfect for the shoe deal. But Whitlock, to go back to something you said about his mom and his uncle running the show, let's say you're Philly and you want to take a chance, and the mom and the uncle, who don't have any other clients in the NBA, say, oh, yeah, we'll think about signing with you. And then, you know, they don't have any other clients, so they're not beholden to you. Things don't go well. The mom and the uncle just say, we don't care. We're going to go back on our word. He's going to L.A. Like, it's a dangerous spot when you're dealing with people who don't have a lot of experience, as the uncle and the mom don't, in this kind of situation.
I think we're assuming, though, just because Kawhi's not talking, that his uncle and mom are running everything. I think the Spurs misread Kawhi. They think he's not, you know, he's kind of simple because he doesn't talk. I think Kawhi is very intelligent.
Yep.
He's very observant.
So who's running it?
I think Kawhi is running it. Now, his uncle obviously is working for him. His mom has influence. But I think Kawhi is going to end up where he wants to go. I don't think they're going to say, go to the Lakers, go to Philadelphia. He's going to do what he wants to do, and they're going to try to help facilitate.
I agree with that. It's the whole idea of the smartest guy in the room says the least, right? You got 2 ears, you got 1 mouth. And, you know, so listen more and speak less.
You know, real bad boys move in silence.
real G's move in silence like lasagna, right? But I think what's interesting here about Kawhi Leonard is this idea that somehow L.A. is going to market a shoe better. Like, who's going to buy a Kawhi Leonard shoe?
He doesn't do interviews,
and
as he said.
He's turning down how many millions of dollars? 70 million to
maybe
San Antonio,
if they offer him
like
Supermax.
So,
if I tied everything you all said together, that we all said together, what I think, and particularly, Doug, I think you kind of went there, this is about sports becoming more like Hollywood. And it's about child stars. And then child stars and their helicopter parents. And so I think if you look at LeVar Ball and, you know, they're the Kardashians of basketball and with his kids, and now you have this child star again. He got to the NBA at age 19, you know, from a city and a place, you know, Riverside, that, you know, that's not where they're just pumping out multimillionaires or whatever. This is all a strange experience for everybody, and they're all dealing with fame and a lot of money that they – and it's very hard to handle – And this, to me, just sounds like a child star who could, maybe he's going to be Lindsay Lohan, maybe he'll be Will Smith, I don't know.
It's arrested, it's arrested development, right? It's arrested development. I mean, like, look, Dwight Howard's a perfect example of that. He comes from a really good home, but he really struggled with interacting with people, with understanding how people would take his jokes in the league or even in his own locker room, how it would affect the coaching staff. So, but I think the part you nailed is the bigger issue is, yes, it's about guys too much too soon in terms of the fame and the money, and then you factor in parents today. Because kids have always wanted more. Kids have always pushed for more, as fast, but they used to have better balance at home. Now the parents are more in on, hey, I can get in on this as well. The kids haven't really changed, the parents have, and this is the rare case of a kid who may be a little bit in over his head in terms of what he wants, and a mom and an uncle who are ill-equipped for exactly what you're trying to do. Like, there's a reason you hire a professional agent. Yes, it's a check you don't want to write each month, but this is a time in which it comes invaluable because he's losing a PR battle.
To Oklahoma City, where reportedly the Thunder and Carmelo Anthony will part ways this summer after Melo opted into the final year of his deal worth almost $28 million. The move has already sparked speculation Melo could join his buddy LeBron in L.A., and the Lakers have already made some outside-the-box signings so far. If Melo comes to L.A. and joins LeBron, I've given up. I've, after what we saw from Melo in Oklahoma City, and to add another ball stopper to the Lakers would just seem crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good fit. He doesn't play defense. I mean, Oklahoma City had trouble keeping him on the floor against the Utah Jazz in that series. He's a ball stopper, as you said. He's not going to sit out there at the three-point line and hit threes. He won't accept his role. He could go to a good team and help somebody if he would willingly accept that type of backup role. I don't think he will. Look, he's in his 16th year. He's not the player he used to be, and he's got to accept that. So I wouldn't take him if I was the Lakers.
Jason, how many guys that are friends of yours you really like and they're good personalities, but they've said, hey, I want to be on your show? And you're like, look, you're my friend, and I love you, and you're funny, and you're quirky, and you can argue with me about sports, but I can't have you on my show because you might drop an F-bomb, or you might show up late, or you might no-show at all. That's what LeBron needs to do with this Melo thing. Like, we're friends. We're still boys. I can't have you on my team.
This is a just saying.
This dude has won 3 playoff series his entire career, and now he's washed athletically.
Before you go, Jason, I hope my lawyer in Kansas City, Kirk May, is watching, because Doug just said that's why he wants to be on my show.
Broussard, you were being too kind, okay, to Carmelo Anthony. He was unplayable against the Jazz. I mean, total nightmare, 21% from deep, wouldn't pass the ball. So let me get this straight. If he's not going to take a role as a backup on OKC, not going to go to the bench, you think he's going to go to the Lakers and listen to anything they got to say, or Boston or Philly? I wouldn't
he
be
would
shocked.
He would defer to LeBron, and that's it.
I don't know that he's deferring to anybody. At 34, he's turning 35 in May. I don't think Carmelo Anthony is on a team to start the season. I think at best come February. Maybe somebody, there was an injury. Maybe somebody signs him. But this guy, I think it's over for
him. Oh, I think so. Houston's interested. Yeah, I think he can help Houston.
Houston.
What would he do in Houston?
Stand out there and try to shoot jump shots. Stop. They wanted Joe Johnson. Remember, they picked up Joe Johnson at the end of the year. At a minimum deal, hey, look, I wouldn't think it's crazy, actually, Golden State to take a run at him. Only in that we just need, remember, they had Maurice Spates a couple years ago. Maurice Spates didn't guard anybody. Just came in to try and get buckets.
Melo and Boogie.
Again, if you can get.
You try to kill
certain,
Steve Kerr,
certain systems, he'll fit.
Correct.
We don't know what the heck the Lakers system's going to be with all these playmakers.
And they don't have a strong enough personality right now with Luke as coach. I think when you're trying to install a culture and you're LeBron in L.A., you stay away. But when you already have a culture established, that's the whole thing with Boogie Cousins. I think that's the one reason it could work is you have until February to have him watch and absorb the culture because the old Boogie Cousins would be a disaster.
But again, y'all blowing my mind suggesting Carmelo at Houston or going to any team thinking about winning a championship, why Melo?
Because Doug said it. If you already have a good culture established, you can fit him in.
No.
Oklahoma
he doesn't listen.
City didn't have really have a culture. They brought in George. They brought in Melo.
It's different
so
on your own.
Leffert does not change his spots. Carmelo Anthony's going to come in and look for his minutes, look for his shots, call the shots. That's what these guys
Jason,
do, man.
I agree, but it's different when you're on a minimum deal. You're cuttable. You have to, at some point, he's going to have to look himself in the mirror and say, if not here, where am I going
to
play?
Let me tell you why they're wrong. It's like I dated a woman that loves to take me to Whole Foods. She thinks, oh, take him to Whole Foods, he'll eat better. I go to Whole Foods and I figure out a way.
They got good barbecue at Whole Foods, already pre-made.
I figure out a way.